5.
It is 6 minutes past the hour. Dr. Renee Bullock-Palmer returns. Always a great guest when we have the privilege to present Dr. Bullock-Palmer, cardiologist, director of the Women's Heart Center, and the director of non-invasive cardiac imaging at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. And the topic this half hour is heart healthy living, which I had a great conversation that's going to fit so perfectly with this discussion because I ate a meal the other night that I could not believe was not real pasta. It was plant-based. Every single thing about it was heart healthy. And yet I didn't have to sacrifice flavor. The texture was right. The taste was right. And if I wasn't told what the ingredients were, chickpeas and these different things, I would have never imagined that you can construct these amazing meals and make them very, very tasty and very heart healthy. Dr. Renee Bullock-Palmer is a cardiologist and is board certified in cardiovascular disease, nuclear cardiology, adult congenital heart disease, cardiovascular computed tomography, and adult echocardiography. Wow, look at that. Dr. Bullock-Palmer earned her medical degree from the University of the West Indies, Faculty of the Medical Sciences in Kingston, Jamaica. After medical school, Dr. Bullock-Palmer completed a residency in internal medicine and fellowship in cardiology at the sunny Downstate Medical Center College of Medicine in Brooklyn, New York. She also completed a fellowship in advanced cardiac imaging at St. Luke's Roosevelt Hospital Center of Columbia University in New York. Very credentialed, as you can tell. Dr. Bullock-Palmer, welcome back. I'm so excited about our discussion here.
Good morning, and thanks for the invitation again.
You're welcome. So what does it mean to eat heart healthy?
Right. So, you know, eating heart healthy, as you had opened in the opening statement, you know, you really want to be focusing on plant-based food products. You know, so like you should be having a lot of fruits, vegetables. Your protein, you should try to obtain that from lean pieces of poultry. Fish such as salmon, tuna, trout is also good. And really having a diet that's also rich in fiber, so like whole grains as well as flaxseed, oatmeal, those types of foods.
And I commented, because now I've experienced it, I would never have known. If somebody just invited me for dinner and I had lasagna, I would have just said, oh, this is delicious, thank you. But I knew going in what it was actually constructed of, what it was made of. I almost can't believe it. So I remember saying, and I know you and I have talked about this in previous episodes together, you don't have to sacrifice taste and texture for healthy. It all can be accomplished, right?
Exactly. So, you know, fortunately, you know, we do have you know, a lot of alternatives. There's even plant-based burgers. So, you know, the good thing is that you have options available. Even for pasta, there's the whole grain pasta that you can choose, which is more heart healthy. And, you know, of course, if you're making lasagna, then having the, you know, low-fat cheeses and trying to minimize the amount of cheese on the pasta.
Yeah, and that's exactly what the chef did. And it was perfect. And the pasta was, to me, undetectable that it wasn't your normal white flour based type, you know, pasta that we know breaks down to sugar and is not very healthy. It was just a fantastic meal. And it just so happens it was right before we would meet today. And I wanted to mention it to you. So what are the foods that help lower cholesterol and blood pressure?
Right. So I'll attack the blood pressure first. You know, for patients with high blood pressure, first and foremost, you want to limit your sodium intake. And sodium can be found in many of the food products. So I'd encourage listeners to read the labels at the back of their food products when they go grocery shopping. Things like even soy sauce, all these different things, you have to look at the labels. So that's first and foremost. You should be having less than 2 grams of sodium per day, and even sometimes even less than 1,500 grams of sodium per day. Second thing is that to limit your alcohol intake because that can also increase your blood pressure. With regards to the cholesterol issue, plant-based, high fiber, whole grains, those things will help to lower the cholesterol because what these food products do is that once you've ingested these food products, it absorbs the cholesterol in the gut, so it prevents the absorption of cholesterol into the bloodstream. So things like oatmeal and flaxseed, whole grains are very useful for that. And in addition to that, it keeps you fuller for a longer period of time so that you snack less, and that will also help you to control your weight.
We are visiting with Dr. Renee Bullock-Palmer, cardiologist, and I mentioned all the other important titles, director of the Women's Health Center, Women's Heart Center, and the director of non-invasive cardiac imaging at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. And the topic this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. Bullock-Palmer is Heart Healthy Living. To make an appointment, you can call. I'll give you the phone number, and I'll also give you the way you can do it digitally. A lot of people from your smartphone or any digital device, you can make the same. You can request your appointment either way. The phone number, 609-621-2080, 609-621-2080, or demanddeborah.org, and they are accepting new patients. And we'll repeat the number and the website a few times throughout the half hour. The topic is so important, as you know, Dr. Bullock-Palmer. And our next question is, what foods, this will be very helpful for your listeners, what foods should be avoided?
Right. So, the important thing is that you have to plan your meals. Usually the ones that come to mind, obviously, are things like alcohol. You want to limit your alcohol intake. And I know we're going to get into that later on in the conversation. Try to avoid any food products that's high in trans fats, as well as sodium, so like chips. Again, those things should be avoided. A lot of fast food, red meat, beef, pork, you want to try to limit your intake of those items. Eggs, I always tell my patients to try to avoid eggs as much as possible. If you really have to have your eggs, try to separate the yolk out of the eggs. The yolk is the yellow part of the egg. You like to avoid eating that because that is the part of the egg that has the most cholesterol in there. So usually things like egg whites will be more healthy. And also trying to avoid your intake of a lot of dairy products. If you have dairy, make sure that you choose the low-fat dairy products, including the cheeses, and try to avoid butter as much as possible.
Isn't the challenge, everything you said, I'm sure people are saying, oh no, because they love it. All the things it seems we should avoid, it almost seems like it's pre-programmed. We love it, almost crave it. People do love eggs. And I know people love dipping their toast or English muffin or whatever into the yolk. And then they sometimes save the yolk part and all that for last because it's so delicious. And then some of the other things. So the challenge really is that the things that are not good for us, we seem to crave these things.
Right, exactly. So, it's a habit that has to be developed over time. So as I tell my patients, try to start with small steps first and then to gradually build upon each step, So if the first step is trying to avoid the red meat, then that's the first step you can take. The second step might be trying to limit your dairy or to limit the cheeses. So it's a stepwise process, but with each step, it becomes easier because then your body and your mind also adapts to this new diet.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised that, once you've gotten to a point where you're eating very heart healthy, you really don't even miss what you used to eat, trying to change that mindset is the key.
I can only testify to what I experienced two nights ago, and this is someone very close to me. They decided that they really wanted to buckle down and eat heart healthy. And those just joining the program, that's exactly what we're talking about this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. Renee Bullock-Palmer. And the topic is heart healthy living. The lasagna that I had was undetectable that it was heart healthy. So that really answers the question that as long as you prepare the food well, and you learn what things can be very, very flavorful, but yet still healthy for you, you can do this. I could eat like that for the rest of my life and in different recipes that this individual told me they're going to be doing. So I'm going to buckle down because I like certain things that aren't very good for you, and it's important. So I'm trying to make some changes. You mentioned, Dr. Bullock-Palmer, bad fats. Is there such a thing as good fats?
Right. So a lot of the good fats, what we mean are the plant or the food products that will help to raise your good cholesterol, which is known as the HDL, and lower the bad cholesterol, which is known as your LDL. So many of these food products include like plant-based products like nuts, particularly almonds, walnuts, pecans are very heart healthy. So usually a handful of nuts a day is the recommendation. And then also things such as fatty fish like salmon and also tuna, that also helps to manage the balance between the good cholesterol and the bad cholesterol. So those are really plant-based, and then your oily types of fish like salmon, tuna, and trout.
This is the only break that we take during the doctor's time with us. So when we come back, we'll be uninterrupted until about 35 minutes past the hour. Dr. Renee Bullock-Palmer, cardiologist and the director of the Women's Heart Center and the director of non-invasive cardiac imaging at Deborah Heart and Lung Center, is our distinguished guest this half hour. The program is Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. Today's discussion, heart healthy living. And get ready for this one. I can't wait to hear Dr. Bullock-Palmer talk about this one. Is chocolate and red wine, I repeat, chocolate and red wine, is that really considered heart healthy? We'll find out together in just a few minutes. Stay with us. Don't go away. We are back at 22 minutes past the hour. Reminder, Senator Michael Testa will join us right after Dr. Renee Bullock-Palmer. This is Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. Dr. Bullock-Palmer, cardiologist, director of the Women's Heart Center, director of non-invasive cardiac imaging at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. And our topic this half hour is heart healthy living. And I'm telling you, I'm imploring you, give it a shot. You can do it. You actually can do it. You can have wonderful food, and it can still be healthy. It's very empowering when you embrace that. I think a lot of people, it's predisposed that healthy means it's going to taste like cardboard or have no flavor or it'd be terrible, the texture and the taste. Not true. So give it a shot. I think you'll be very, very pleased. Now, this is one of the most important questions that I believe that I will have the privilege to pose to Dr. Bullock-Palmer. And we're either going to lose the room or, Dr. Palmer, you're going to make everybody's day. Is chocolate and red wine really considered heart healthy?
Right. So I know, the World Health Organization came out recently within the last year that had mentioned that any alcohol, can cause damage to the heart. So generally speaking, if you have not been one to drink alcohol, then that's fine. You can stay off alcohol. For those who do drink, trying to limit to less than one drink per day if you're female, or less than two drinks per day if you're male. The thought behind this is that red wine, which is made from grapes, has a component called resveratrol, which helps. It's an anti-inflammatory and also helps to lower the bad cholesterol and raise the good cholesterol. And the same is true for chocolate. It's believed to have some anti-inflammatory properties that will help to do that. So I think, if you're a chocolate eater, that's fine. As long as you're not having, excessive amounts and trying to limit it to no more than a piece or two of chocolate daily.
Dr. Bullock-Palmer, on chocolate, is it supposed to be dark chocolate is the most healthy?
The darker chocolate, yes.
Yes. So if you like the milk chocolate, that's not the same, right?
Right, yeah, the darker the chocolate, the more the higher the anti-inflammatory properties.
I'm glad you covered that, and you did talk about it, but I'm going to ask it as a point of emphasis anyhow. Does excessive drinking, and of course I mean alcohol, contribute to heart disease? And you talked about the recommended intake, but just maybe another comment about excessive drinking, because it sounds like it's not good for you, and it's obviously not good for you, is it?
Right, exactly. So, alcohol, especially drinking excessively, which is defined as more than two drinks per day for males and more than one drink per day for females. So that has been linked to things such as heart failure, which is a weak heart, can cause the heart muscles to not pump as well. And then in those situations, those patients will present with shortness of breath, swelling of the legs, not being able to lay flat without feeling shortness of breath. So those are things that you try to avoid. Alcohol can also increase the the blood pressure as well. And of course, the high blood pressure is linked to heart disease because it puts a lot of strain on the heart. And again, it can cause heart failure, can also cause strokes with high blood pressure. So those are the main, the main toxic effects of alcohol.
Dr. Palmer, is there a correlation with waist size and heart disease?
Yes, there is. So basically for patients who have an enlarged waist, what that signals is that there's increased fat, fatty tissue in the abdomen, in the trunk area, and that in and of itself has been linked to increased fat around the critical organs such as the heart, such as the liver, and so on. So, and that is, in and of itself can increase the risk for heart disease because it's inflammatory, causes a lot of strain on the heart as well, and also raises the bad cholesterol and lowers the good cholesterol. And that has also been linked to what we call glucose intolerance, which basically what that means is that the body does not deal with glucose very well. And then that can then lead to diabetes, which diabetes is a very toxic disease for the heart because diabetes in and of itself can quadruple or even triple your risk for heart disease.
Dr. Bullock-Palmer, talk about the role that exercise plays in relation to heart health.
Right. So exercise is very important. That's really the way the heart really gets to pump and really to train the muscle of the heart. So you have to think of the heart like, you know, your biceps, and you're training that that muscle, right? So if you don't use it, you'll lose it, right? So really trying to keep yourself active, which is defined as at least 150 minutes of exercise on a weekly basis. If your aim is to lose weight, then cumulatively you should try to at least exercise 5 hours in total per week or more. Of course, you don't want to be excessive, so you want to try to limit. So I would say between 5 to 6 hours of exercise per week. One of the things, as we get older, we have to make sure that we do not set ourselves up for injury. So I try to tell patients simple things like walking, body weight exercises, sit-ups, push-ups. Those are the things that's healthy. You know, things like weightlifting can cause injury, especially if you don't know what you're doing. So I think keep it simple. Walking, a light jog, light weight, and body exercise, body weight exercises such as push-ups and sit-ups. And definitely it has advantages for the heart because it helps to lower your blood pressure, helps to manage your glucose and decrease the risk of diabetes, and definitely helps to lower your bad cholesterol and improve your overall heart health.
Deborah Heart and Lung Center is accepting new patients. You can make an appointment by calling 609-621-2080. I'll repeat, 609-621-2080, or you can do the same on any digital device, demanddeborah.org, demanddeborah.org. I want to throw a bonus question at you, Dr. Bullock-Palmer. Is eating a meal too close to bedtime a bad practice?
Absolutely. So you should try to not have anything heavy in terms of a heavy meal, at least 3 to 4 hours before bedtime. Because when you think of it, you have that large meal, you then go to bed. All of that energy that you have eaten gets stored in as fat, right? So you should really try to limit anything heavy at least 3 to 5 hours before bedtime. In fact, you should be having your largest meal when you're most active in the day, so in the early afternoon, evening, at noon, and then as the day progresses, you should try to eat less as your activity level decreases.
I'll just throw this out because it just crossed my mind. Are you a fan of eating small amounts multiple times or eating normally 3 basic meals?
So I tend to eat 3 basic meals, most importantly because I just don't have the time to snack throughout the day.
Yes.
It also depends on you know, there's some people that have slow emptying of the stomach that they may not be able to have a large meal at one time, so they may have to have small meals. The most important thing is to watch your portions because, you know, cumulatively over the span of the day, you want to make sure that you're still limiting your calories. So if you're making a choice to have small meals throughout the day, just make sure that you're keeping in mind how much you've eaten for that entire day to limit your portions. And it depends. You know, some people just don't have the time to do that. So having three meals and, of course, limiting your snacks in between these three meals is important.
You're just providing such important content. Dr. Renee Bullock-Palmer is our guest. DeBora Heart Lung Center presents today a Heart Healthy Living discussion with Dr. Bullock-Palmer. And how about diet? What role does diet play in lowering the risk of repeat heart attacks? Horrible to even think that, but people do have this. Or is it more for prevention in the first place?
Right. So you know, even if you've had your first heart attack, there's always a role for prevention. So, of course, the goal for that person is preventing your next heart attack. If you're fortunate to have never had a heart attack, then, of course, the goal is to prevent your first heart attack. So there's always a role for diet in both of those situations. And the reason why diet is important, because, you know, you are what you eat. So you have to really, you know, as for the points that we had mentioned earlier, trying to adapt all of those changes, because doing so will help you to lower your bad cholesterol, increase your good cholesterol, will help you to lower your sodium, to decrease the risk of having high blood pressure, will also help you to control your glucose better, to decrease your risk of developing diabetes, and also depends on certain foods that we eat, like we had mentioned, chocolate and red wine can decrease your, the inflammatory properties of your diet, and that in and of itself can decrease your risk for heart disease and heart attacks.
What foods, Dr. Bullock-Palmer, should people always have on hand? Because if they do, that will help them to promote a heart-healthy diet.
Right. So, you know, if you're packing snacks, you want to make sure that you, you know, try to load up on fruits, vegetables, try to load up on healthy nuts like almonds, walnuts, pecans, those types of things. Or don't forget, water is important as well. But sometimes, you know, when you're feeling hungry, in fact, what you might be, what might be happening is that you are having thirst. And then some people, you know, your mind might interpret that thirst as being hunger. So a lot of times, just keeping yourself hydrated, eating healthy, having healthy snacks like what we mentioned, fruits, vegetables, pack a salad, healthy dressings as well. We have to make sure that you've made a wonderful salad, but then you don't load up the salad with all of that high-fat dressing. So really having a low-fat dressing on hand, nuts readily available. And going back to nuts, the raw unsalted nuts is the most healthy, because, of course, if you're packing the nuts with a lot of salt, then that's not good, because that's going to increase your sodium.
And I notice in all the times you mentioned almonds, you mentioned walnuts, you're not saying peanuts. Peanuts are not healthy, are they?
No, they're not, because that actually increases the bad cholesterol relative to the good cholesterol. Same thing for cashews. So if you're going to have cashews and peanuts, I would say, you know, at least have a quarter of a handful, just a few pieces. But the almonds, pecans, walnuts, those are your friends.
And I know this technically, well, literally is not a nut, but it has the texture of that nutty type thing. How about things like sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, and things like that that people sometimes toast and enjoy? Are they healthy?
Yeah, they're healthy. The roasting is not a problem as long as you're not adding salt to it. But the unsalted versions of those are perfectly fine.
And we have time for one more question. Your time allocation, you've been perfect today in delivering this important content. We have time for one more question. And I've heard you speak about this, and you're really right on point on this topic, I believe, when it relates to holiday eating. What are some holiday eating tips that you recommend, Dr. Bullock-Palmer?
Right. So, you know, the holidays is a very difficult time for many of us. There are lots of sweets, cakes, cookies going around. You know, at work, try to limit your intake of that. You know, you can politely say thanks, but, you know, just probably have a small piece of it, but don't overindulge. And then, again, keeping a food diary is very important. So if you know that you're having an event later on in the evening after work, then, you know, where you're going to be having a lot of those holiday snacks, then you want to try to limit your breakfast and lunch to accommodate for those increased calories towards the end of the day. Vice versa, if you've had a large event the day before, you overindulge, and the following day you want to try to limit your intake, probably just have like a light diet for that day to make up for the quote-unquote sins that you committed the night before, right? So trying to accommodate for that. And really, moderation is key, especially in the holidays. It's unreasonable for you to expect that you're not going to have any other holiday snacks. You are, but you just have to limit your intake, portion control, and sometimes saying thanks, but politely saying no.
That's great.
especially in the office, because that's really the time that gets people into trouble.
Well, it's at the office, and then you wind up taking it home, and then there's stuff at home, and it doesn't end. Dr. Renee Bullock-Palmer, it's always a pleasure to present you. DeBoer Heart and Lung Center, to make an appointment, you can call 609-621-2080, or you can request appointment on the web as well at demanddeborah.org. That's our discussion for today. This episode of DeBoer Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. Renee Bullock-Palmer on heart healthy living. Thank you for the time. Always enjoy being with you.
Thank you again for the invitation. Have a great day.
You do the same.